So Rabosai, on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Beis, we have a statement in the Braisa that Lo Yivol Lo Bi Erev Shabbos Velo Motzai Shabbos. The Gemara says Bishleimim Bi Erev Shabbos, the Bila Rishonim should not take place on Leil Shabbos. That's Mishum Chabura. That's a Sugya of Shabbos. Ella B'motzai Shabbos Amai Lo. What's the problem with having the Nisuin, having the Sudas Nisuin on Motzai Shabbos? So the Gemara says in the name of Reb Zera, now we're going on to Daf Hei Amud Aleph. That's what we want to cover today. Our goal for tonight is Hei Amud Aleph. Mishum Cheshbonos. Which means that if they have the Suda on Motzai Shabbos, he's going to calculate all sorts of cheshbonos about how much money he'll need, how much he's spending, you know, to pay the caterer and to pay the musicians or whatever it might be. And that's prohibited on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a day in which we're involved in thinking cheshbonos. Now, the interesting thing is that what is the source for this halacha of Shabbos? And there's a Gemara that we should point out in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, V'chibadeto me'asos drachecha bimtso cheftzecha v'daber davar, that the dibur of Shabbos should be different than the dibur of Chol. And on Shabbos, we should not be involved in a dibur of chol. And you may recall that last week we pointed out that according to the Yerayim, at least, who's one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, or the Rishon of the Balei Tosfos, he's of the opinion that it's quite possible that this drush is an asmachta, but the din itself is an iser da'oraisa called halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Very often the Gemara we'll take Halach L'Moshe V'Sinai, which is Doraisa, and find a Pasuk as an Asmachta. So we're dealing with a very serious Avera over here. Abaye is not happy with Rav Zera. Omalei Abaye says to him, wait a minute, we're talking about a Sudas Mitzvah. The Suin is a Sudas Mitzvah. The Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah Mi'asiri. Is there any prohibition with regard to calculating prices and expenses for a mitzvah? And he's going to quote a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel. And that Gemara establishes that Cheshbon Shel Mitzvah is mutter on Shabbos. And what does the Gemara tell us over there? V'har Rav Chizda, Rav Hemnuna, Diamri Chavayu, they both say that Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah Mutar L'Cheshbon B'Shabbos. Now, your classical case of Cheshbon Shel Mitzvah is called Pinyon Shvuyim. So you begin to make calculations about how much money we can gather together from the community in order to redeem the captured. Another classical case of Cheshbon Shel Mitzvah is Binyan Beis HaKnesses. We have to build a synagogue in the community, and we have to calculate how we're going to get the funds together in order to do so. All that is mutter on Shabbos. And therefore, any calculations, the Gemara claims, Abai claims, for the sake of a Sudas Nisuin, insofar as the Sudas Nisuin is also mitzvah, should be permissible. Or the Gemara quotes another statement. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar goes as far as to say that poskin stokel aniyim b'Shabbos, that we're allowed to decide on Shabbos that we're going to give such and such an amount of money, a sum of money to this ani, and such a sum of money to the other ani. Let's say, for example, you're running a gemach and you have a certain amount of funds in the gemach, so you can divvy up those funds on Shabbos and determine who will get what.
Is this also why you can give money, like in the Shalom?
Oh, excellent, excellent. So this is the Ran's Kasha. The Ran's Kasha is that the Gemara in Beitza says, Asur lahagdish chefetz legavoa b'Shabbos. Did I tell you where the Gemara is? Or Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis? all the sugyas of Shavuos on Shabbos are at the end of Masechta Beitzah. And there the Gemara says that if a person wants to be magdish, an object to Hegdesh on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, he's prohibited from doing so under the halacha of a Dabru Dovar. So the Ran therefore asks, why should it be prohibited? If we're saying that you're allowed to make these cheshbono shel mitzvah, you're allowed to be posek tztok al aniyim v'shabbos, why can't you be magdish a chefetz? And I want to summarize the answer of the Ran and see if we can explain it. In the language of the Ran, he says the following. Lahagdish chefetz dome lemekach u'memkar. Shemotzi chefetz mirshuso umaviro lirshus hegdish. The Ran says that we have an Isser on Shabbos called mekach u'memkar. Despite all the jokes that we have, you know, it was already sold and all that, but there is an Isser to sell something on Shabbos. Why? Because the kinyan itself is Isser. I'm not sure if it's the Maisa kinyan or if it's the Chalois kinyan. I mean, there are various discussions in the Nesivos and the Achronim about that. But one thing I do know, you cannot transfer ownership of an object on Shabbos. And therefore, says the Ran, l'hagdish means kibisi rosa lehejo. When I'm magdish a chefetz, I'm taking my possession over that chefetz and I'm transferring it over to the gizbar, to hegdish. The gizbar is only representative of hegdish. But he says, lechayev atzmo bidibur, if a person wants to obligate himself to give something to hegdish, mutter. When he takes upon himself a vow, a pledge, to give something to Hegdesh, that itself is not a kinyan. That's a neder, but it's not a kinyan. So the difference is that whereas the Gemara establishes clearly that you're not allowed to be magdish a chefetz, because the act of hakdasha is a mesira to Hegdesh, it means you transfer ownership over the object. That's mekach u'memkar, that's prohibited. Mm-hmm. However, if I want to commit myself to give a gift, whether it means to give the ani of a certain amount of money, or I want to give my personal money to the Beis HaKnesses, those commitments, those pledges are mutar on Shabbos, says the Ran, because they don't entail any specific kinyan. So I was thinking to myself, in the laws of Hegdesh, we have a fundamental distinction, and the Ran doesn't go into this, between what's called a neder and a nedava. In one case, I say, harezu hegdesh. I point to an animal, Elsie the cow, and I say, she is going to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach. In the other case, I say, harei alai. And when I say harei alai, what do you say?
That should be like the tzedakah case.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to think. The Ran doesn't mention this, but Lefiani is daiti. If you're talking about a neder where you point your finger to a certain object and you say harezu hegdesh, that would come under the shmus of mekach u'memkar. But if you say harei alai, that's a whole different story. There you're committing yourself and it's a cheshbon shel mitzvah, that should be mutar on Shabbos. That's how I understand the Ran. So we say here, Amar Rav Elazar Poskin, Stokel Ani B'Shabbos, what we're talking about is divvying up money, but not actually being machnet to the Ani. We're not taking a shtar, some sort of a contract, and giving it over to the Ani, so that he can now come and claim his money. No, we're just promising and pledging money to the various Ani.
Just in terms of the issue of making a pledge in shul, as we, for aliyahs and things of that nature.
Right.
I would think that wouldn't be lechatchila. In other words, that it's not ideal that money is being spoken of. In other words, yes.
So wait. So I wanted to ask you the following question. You know that in all of Shas, we always ask the question of Hutra or Dechuya.
Right.
When the Gemara here establishes in the name of Abaye, in the name of Chizda, now in the name of Lazar, that you're allowed Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah on Shabbos,
right.
Is that a heter? But really it's Asur? You know, we're doing it for the greater good, the means, the ends justify the means in this case. Or no, this is not Dechuya. This is not for the sake of a greater good. This is Hutra. When the Torah says V'davu Dovar, there are two types of Dovar. There's a Dovar Shel Chol, and there's a Dovar Shel Mitzvah. And a Dovar Shel Mitzvah is not a Dovar Shel Chol. So therefore, Rav Aaron, what I would say, again, I'm not paskening, but just shooting from the hip, is that cheshbono shel mitzvah is not begetter dechuya. It's not like essay dochalosa, but you want to avoid it lechatchila at all costs. It's not that when you say, I'm going to give such and such to tztaka or such and such to hegdesh, that you are violating v'davru dover, but doing so for a greater good.
Right.
In a certain sense, it's like there's a sugya nazir. Have we ever discussed this about aver lishma? Aver lishma, which the Gemara quotes the case of Yael, that she had all these be'ilos with Sisro, that's a case where you are culpable for an avera, but you're allowed to do it for the sake of a mitzvah. For example, you find that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. So when I do a malacha, let's say, for example, I feed a chola, even during the week, nevela. I don't know, this is a very fascinating question, is he eating nevela? You know, the Gemara says in Chulin that macholas asurus mitamtimos es halev, you know, they have an impact on the soul. But he's allowed to do that. Nay, he's obligated to do that because of the pasuk v'chaimahem. Or no, what he's eating is not Iser, it's hutra. And therefore, he doesn't suffer the results, the impact of timtum halev.
You make a bracha on her or not?
Correct. It could be that's the machlokas, the Rambam and the Raavad at the end of Hilchas Brachas. So about whether you make a bracha, Shalom Aleichem. We've been saving a chair for you, Brian. So, and you have a choice actually, because Fef is in Chutzlar, so you have two chairs. So, what would you say, Brian, if you give a chole? The veiler, he has to eat the veiler. The doctor says so. Would he make a bracha on it? Because
yes.
We usually have a rule that on macholas asurus we don't make a bracha. There's some macholas asurus, prohibited foods, we don't make brachas. So, but that's in a case where he's not a chola. Here's a chola sheish bo sakana. He's got to eat this food, and it's no longer macholas asurus. Rabbi Kivega wants to make a distinction between a cholo who has to eat on Yom Kippur, and he'll make kiddush, he'll make all the brachas, he'll make berachas hamazon, as opposed to a cholo who never has to eat the vela. Says Rabbi Kivega, if the cholo has to eat the vela, at the end of the day he's eating the vela. You know, you can't change the nature of the vela. But on Yom Kippur, there's no such thing as macholas asuras. It's not a heft of the isura. It's what he calls an isa gavra. You know, the person has to desist from eating anything on Yom Kippur. But there's no such thing as you can single out a chefzid isur. There's no timtum alev. And therefore, says Rav Kiveger, in the case of a chola on Yom Kippur, it's all hutra. Did I ever tell you the story my friend, Rabbi Shurin, tells about his grandfather, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? He was a Rav in Sitiv Yan. I think I must have told you the story. He had a Shena Balabas. He was the richest guy in Sitiv Yan, which probably meant he made a dollar a day or something like that. You know, it's all relative. And he became a Chola. And he came to Rav Yaakov, who was the young Rav. He was Mamish straight out of Slabodka. He was an untried rabbi. And he asked him whether he should fast on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yaakov says, what does the doctor say? So the doctor, he told him, says, I have to eat. So what's your shailos? He says, well, I don't want to eat. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you have to eat. And the way I heard the story from Rabbi Shurin is that the man fasted against the psak of Rabbi Yaakov and he died. And Rabbi Yaakov refused to go to the Leviathan. Because Rav Yaakov said he has the halacha of ma'abed atzmo ledas. He's a suicide case. And we know he's paid for a suicide case. Right. A deliberate suicide. I'm not talking about a mentally ill person. I'm talking about someone who's working with a full debt. As a result of this maisa, Rav Yaakov had to leave Tzitav Yan. But he felt as an ish halacha that he could not give a hespeid for this balavos who was ma'abed atzmo ledas. So why do I tell you?
What about the if you have a treif meal, right?
I didn't hear you have what?
A person has a treif meal, and he's sitting. You can't do a birkat hamazon.
No bracha lefanel or bracha achrei. But if he's a chole, that's going to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raavad. And I think
we have that case. I heard of this case. Some people were eating kosher, some people were eating treif. It was a Friday night. All the Jews were together. I went to the bench.
The question is whether you could be tzarif them to a zimun. I don't think you could be tzarif them to a zimun if they were eating treif. But I want to tell you something else. There's an issue that applies all over the place, all over Shas, or as Rabbi Weiss would say, all over the show, I think he says, I don't know, all over the show. And that is Hutra versus Dechuya. Here, in our sugya that we're studying on Daf Heyom and Aleph, we're allowed to pledge money on Shabbos, even though V'davu Dover, normally you're not allowed to talk about money on Shabbos, even if you say Nishta Shabbos Keren. And the answer is, I believe that this is Hutra. Because the Pasuk says V'davu Dover, the Gemara in Shabbos, says Diburim Shal Shabbos V'lo Diburim Shal Chol, and the Gemara establishes that Diburim Shal Mitzvah is not considered Diburim Shal Chol. How many examples of that do we have? Number one, we have the example of building a Beis HaKnesses. On Shabbos, we talk about money for the Beis HaKnesses. Number two, we have the case of Pinyan Shvuyim. Number three, we have the case of Tztokel Adiyim. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan, Holchim Lebatei Knesios Lebatei Midrashos Lefakeach Al Iskei Rabim. Something that's called Iskei Rabim, it's necessary for the entire community. That's also considered tsarche mitzvah, because tsarche chol are not allowed in the Beis HaKnesses and in a Beis HaMidrash. Of course, those who are mekil, they have a wing, they call it the administrative wing of the synagogue, and there you can do whatever you have to do, there's the offices are there and so forth and so on, but in the shul itself, You're not allowed to get together and discuss, monetary issues. That's called tzarchei chol. But tzarchei rabim have a different halacha. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mefachim pikuach nefesh." Correct? What's the language here? I'm sorry. Mefachim pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos, which means that you're allowed to talk on Shabbos any divrei chol that are necessary for a chole, for a person who's ill, and for saving his life, pikuach nefesh.
What?
All this is mutter on Shabbos. We're not finished yet. If you give me one more minute, we'll finish it all up. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Holchin l'tartiyoyos ulekarkiyoyos l'fakech al iskei ravin. It's so important to supervise and make determinations about the needs of the community that we're going to allow a person to go to places, if need be, where normally he's not allowed to go. These are various houses of worship that belong to the idolaters, and yet you're allowed to go there. Why? Lefakech al iskei ravin. For example, let's say the heads of government are to be found in those places. And the only way you could get a hold of them is by going into those places. And the Gemara says you're allowed to make all these calculations in that place, in this makom beis vad lavodei kochavim, for the sake of tzarchei rabim. And afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos you're allowed to do that. V'tone debei menashe, he has another case. Mishadchin al tinokes li'ores b'Shabbos. You're allowed to speak about Shidduchim on Shabbos. Now, you and I know that Shidduchim is not just to say, well, let's set up a meeting between Ploni and Bas Ploni, right? It's not just talking up the Shidduch, but it also means paying a Shadchim. You know, some people don't realize that even when people do things on your behalf for the sake of a mitzvah, they also deserve, if they put out their efforts, to be paid for that.
So it says you can pay them?
No. What it says is we're allowed to speak on Shabbos about how much we're going to pay the Shadchan in order to make this Shidduch. Why? Because of the mitzvah of Eris and Apiria Virivya, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. He has a footnote here at the bottom that he says in the name of a whole slew of poskim that Kevon She'erusin is a mitzvah, therefore you're allowed to talk about the Shadchanus. But he says that the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit conservative, a little bit hesitant to allow the discussion about the exact amount of money you're going to pay the shadchan. That the Shulchan Aruch would like to avoid. So you could hire a shadchan and say, you're my shadchan, and I will pay you for that, but you're not allowed to go into details about exactly how much you will pay him. I don't know if that's because of dechuya, as we said, you know, we want to limit the damage as much as we can, or maybe because it was already assumed that once you hire the shadchan, there was a general minog, how much you have to pay the shadchan. And finally, the last case is al hatinok lelamdo sefer ulelamdo umnus. You can hire a tutor to teach a sefer or to teach a profession. And this all reflects a sugya at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, that there's a mitzvah to teach a child a profession. Now, what does it mean, tinok lelamdo sefer? Is this phrase familiar to you? Does it ring a bell? To the Zmiros, yeah. Which Zemer is it? I forget. Yeah, but how does the Zemer start? Can you open it up? What do you say? Oh, Letani v'Tanuga. Is that how it starts? Yeah. No, but there are a few words before Letani v'Tanuga, no? What do you say? Alright. So, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to ask the question, why does the Gemara say Lelamdo Sefer? If you're hiring a tutor, Sefer, the word Sefer usually refers to what? We have two Torahs. Which Torah does it usually refer to? Torah Shebichtav. So the Rav said that it's very meduyak. The Gemara is very meticulous here in its choice of words, because you're not allowed to pay a teacher for Torah Shebal Peh. A person is teaching a black Gemara, he's not allowed to be paid for that. The poskim come up with a heter called Schar Batol. You know, you pay him not for the actual effort of his teaching, because that's a mitzvah. You don't want to undermine the mitzvah of teaching Torah. The Pasuk says that we have to teach the same way Moshe Rabbeinu taught. Moshe Rabbeinu taught and he wasn't paid for it. He didn't get a salary. We also have to teach without getting a salary. But the Gemara says, that only applies to Torah Shebal Peh. You're not allowed to take a salary. But Torah Shebichtav, you're allowed to take a salary. So that's what the Gemara means by Sefer. If you're hiring a Malamed and you're discussing with him how much you're going to pay him, then you're talking about Sefer, you're talking about Torah Shebichtav. Isn't that beautiful?
That distinction.
Well, the Gemara says the following, that if you're teaching a Sefer, if you're teaching Torah Shebichtav, then you're teaching vowels, you're teaching what's called Pisuk Tamim. All that has a special status. It's not what you call a Cheft of Mesorah. In other words, the Mesorah has to be transmitted Bechina. Bechina means without getting paid for it. But the words themselves, and how to read the words, they say about the Vilna Gaon,
that's like a technical,
right? That he used to stand for his first Rebbe, who he had when he was 3 years old, who taught him Aleph Beis. He didn't stand for anybody else. So they asked the Gaon why. He says, because anyone else, I don't know if he taught me Emes or Sheker, but this Rebbe taught me Emes. He taught me the words. Did you find it?
Yeah, it's our sugya.
Yeah, how does it start? No, how does the Zemer begin?
Oh, the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Ma'yadidah.
Ah, that's what I wanted to hear. Ma'yadidah. Ah, you're Ma'yadidah. Ma'yadidah. Okay, good. So in Ma'yadidah, we say, V'tinok. No, what does it say there? U'l'shadech es ha'bonos, V'tinok olam no sefer. So to be v'shadech the bonos, we can hire a shadchan on Shabbos, that's called cheshbono shel mitzvah, and we can hire a tutor to teach our children sefer. But sefer means Torah Shebichtav, because a teacher of Torah Shebichtav is allowed to be paid.
It's a sugya d'dor. The person who teaches on Shabbat can get paid for it.
Well, that's a different issue. I'm just saying, in general, you could be paid for teaching Torah Shebichtav. Now, you're asking, what if I teach Torah Shebichtav on Shabbos? Can I be paid for that? I don't know. That you have to learn the sugyas of Kavlonus and Schar Shabbos. I don't know. That's a whole discussion.
Can we just digress quickly because we had this discussion Shabbos day a few weeks ago, which right after it says Chashbonos are Asur, and it says here Mutarim. So what Shirim are we talking about?
In other words, if let's say you want to buy a piece of real estate, you're not allowed to speak about it on Shabbos, but you're allowed to think about
it. You can think about work even?
That's what it says. That's what it says here. Huru Mutara. The Isser is derived from Vidabru Dover.
Right.
The Balatanya.
It's ideal to do it, but there's no Isser.
Yeah. The Balatanya has a sefer at the back of the Tanya. And in that sefer, I'm trying to remember the name of it right now, I think something, do we have a sefer at Tanya? Anyway, so he says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Asura Mamoros, and he calls them Mamorim Gashmiim. Those are like physical statements, because those enunciations created this material world. We have to be Shoveis on Shabbos the same way that Hashem is Shoveis. And just like God is Shoveis on Shabbos for the Asara Mamoros Shenivru Ben Olam, which are Diburim Gashmiim, we too have to be Shoveis from Diburim Gashmiim. But Hirhurim are not included in Diburim Gashmiim. It's Halacha in Dibur. And that's what Yeshayahu Novi says, Vidabru Dover. That you should be careful not to be Medaber on Shabbos in a way that's different. Perhaps, again just thinking out loud, a person's behavior pattern, the way he presents himself on Shabbos, has to be different. The way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he speaks. You know, what goes on in his brain is something different. Obviously, the mitzvah of Shabbos is the day of Shabbos, where is a day dedicated to Dveikus, to the Shem Yisera, to the Schar of Olam Haba, it's made in Olam Haba. Obviously, you want to be thinking thoughts that are related to the Shabbos, to be uplifted and inspired by the Shabbos. Correct. Some people will have to, but not to speak about it. That itself doesn't depend on Madrega, according to the Halacha, but before, it seems to depend upon the Madrega. That people are talking things on Shabbos that they should not be talking about. But again, we're not up to the Cleveland Indians yet. The Boston Red Sox, whatever you're
from. Are we allowed to talk about that?
No, I don't know. The Rabbi raised the issue of whether we can talk about who won the champ. You know, the what do they call it in
Premier League?
What do they call it in South Africa? They have a name for the big game. What's it called? Or is it in Britain? I forget where is it.
It's called the World Cup.
The World Cup isn't that tennis?
Soccer.
Oh, soccer. It's called the World Cup. Right. Brian, do you know anything about the World Cup? You don't know anything?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you don't have the temptation.
I was at the World Cup in South Africa. And in every shul, the rabbis even spoke about it. It was like, took over the whole country.
So apparently they held it had a din of Cheshbon Shel
Mitzvah. Because it applied to the tzibur.
That's right, it was Tzorchei Tzibur. It was Tzorchei Tzibur.
First, I want to ask, it's very interesting that we have all these business and tutoring and exceptions, and it's all grouped in there also along with also Pikuach Nefesh. It's like as if these are all like
I hear your question. Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol Torah Kula. Why do we need this discussion here about Pikuach Nefesh? Right, it says over here over Rav Yaakov, no, excuse me, what does it say here? Yeah, Omer Rav Yochanan mefakhin pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos. What was the Hava meaning? What is pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos? So you're going to have to say that he's not talking about pikuach nefesh, that if I don't speak about this, he's going to die.
What's mefakhin? Whatever that was.
The word mefakhin means, lefakech means levare, to clarify.
Like words, it's not directly pikuach.
Correct. It's not that he's going to die if we don't speak about this, but the concept of Bikuach Nefesh expands and the scope includes any Diburim that could be relevant to a case of Bikuach Nefesh. So therefore the upshot of this sugya is that it doesn't make one bit of sense to assume that we have to avoid a Sudas Nesu'in on Shabbos on Motzi Shabbos, excuse me, because on Shabbos he's going to be calculating the financial undertaking because that's a Cheshbon Shel Mitzvah. Ella, other Rab Zera says, Gzera, Shema Yishchot Ben Of. Now this is even more radical in a certain sense. Now first, let's just interpret the Gemara literally, and we'll make one simple diuk. The Gemara says that especially during the summer months, in the northern hemisphere, is that what you call it? That when Shabbos ends late, or I guess in the winter months in the southern hemisphere, you don't have that much time to prepare for the Suda of Motzi Shabbos. Imagine you have hundreds of guests, you want the meat to be absolutely fresh, and you're watching the clock, but all of a sudden you get so tarud, you become so overwhelmed with the need to prepare for the Suda of Motzi Shabbos. And also keep in mind, it's a great burden because you're doing it on behalf of others, and many people will come to partake in the Suda's mitzvah. He may accidentally shecht an animal. Now, what I just said to you is right, except for the last word of my sentence is wrong. If you notice, the Gemara says, I want to be medayik, ben of. We're talking about a bird. We're not talking about an animal, a behemoth. Shechitas behemos is much more complicated. It's a major undertaking in comparison to shechitas of. Have you ever seen shechitas of? It's like the simplest thing, you know. It's like, actually, last time I saw Shechitas Ov, which was on Erev Yom Kippur, I thought I could do it myself, you know. Even though I never learned Shechitas, I mean, I learned the halachos of Shechitas, but I never learned the Imun Hayad. And it seems so easy. So imagine that you're cutting up all sorts of things, and then somebody brings you a chicken. You might forget yourself. Wow, I got to get this ready for the Suda. And he shechts the chicken with one fell swoop. There was never a fear that he would take upon himself to shecht the behemah and get involved in that whole undertaking, mistakenly thinking that, you know, wow, I got to do this for the sake of the suit.
He's already over hachana for a hole, and for
your hole. Hachana is less of a problem. What we're worried about shechita. Shechita is an av malacha. Now you may ask me, but he's not going to do it deliberately. He'll do it b'shogeg. But you see that Chazal made many gzeras all over the place, all over the show, in order to avoid a violation of Shabbos b'shogeg. In fact, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, b'shogeg, you're not allowed to eat it. At least not on Shabbos. You have to wait for what's called b'chtei shiyasa. We see that an avera b'shogeg on Shabbos is a very severe avera. In fact, it's one of those averas for which you have to bring a karma chatos when the Beis HaMikdash is built. And according to many Rishonim, if let's say chas v'shalom, a person would violate the Shabbos today, he has to keep in mind that when the Beis HaMikdash is built, he's going to bring a karmel chatos for that violation of Shabbos. You can imagine the line to get into the Beis HaMikdash is going to be very long. And therefore the Gemara is worried about the possibility of shechitas ben of. Machmas tirdoso yishkach es haShabbos. He is so tarud that he might possibly forget the Shabbos and shecht and violate the Shabbos inadvertently b'shogeg.
Why is it ben of? Why not just of? What's the
ben of? Is called an of rach v'tzair. It's a young hen and it's very soft. V'derech b'nei adam Tosa says lishchot ha'ofos harachim v'ktanim. I guess in Israel, I think you... Well, this is probably not right. Pargyo, I was about to say Pargyo. But I'm not sure if Pargyo are the younger birds. I don't know, but they're supposed to be chicks. They're supposed to be very soft meat. Omele Abaye. Abaye says, Elamiyato. Wait a minute, I have a question for you. Let's be consistent. Supposing I have a mitzvah of Suda. When do we have a mitzvah of Suda? Erev Yom Kippur. Supposing Shabbos is Erev Yom Kippur. That means Yom Kippur is on a Sunday night, Monday, and therefore Sunday, Yom Rishon, is going to be Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Suda. And this mitzvah of Suda is Doraisa. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk, V'nisem es nafshol seichem v'tisha lachodesh ba'erev. And the Gemara asks, what does that mean, B'tisha B'chodesh La'erev? We don't have any mitzvah of inui on the night going into the ninth of Tishrei. V'chi b'tisha mis'anim alo b'asar mis'anim alo b'lchokal ochal v'shosim b'chi ma'la lo v'akosav ki'ilu is'ana chi v'asiri. So there's a mitzvah to eat a suda on Erev Yom Kippur. Is therefore, if Yom Kippur chal lios b'sheni b'shabbos, therefore Sunday is Erev Yom Kippur, on Shabbos he may come to violate the Shabbos in order to prepare out of his tirda for Motzi Shabbos. So therefore we should make a gzera shema yishchot ben ov. Now, you might ask the question, so how do we avoid this problem? I mean, if Yom Kippur is on a Monday, so it's on a Monday, so what are you going to do? Oh, exactly. How do you move Yom Kippur? So that's called Yidacha. You see the word Yidacha? Yidacha means that Bezdin can take the month of Elul and they can do what's called Iber Chodesh. And by adding a day to Chodesh Elul, Yom Kippur in this case will be pushed off by one day. The word Iber means pregnant. So that if the month has 30 days as opposed to 29 days, it's like a pregnant month. And that will push everything down by one day. So Yom Kippur, instead of falling on a Monday, will now fall on a Tuesday. And they can be Ma'abra the Chodesh. And the Sugyas in Masechta Rashana will deal with an entire list of situations which warrant Ibra Chodesh. Why doesn't this situation appear because of the Gzera of Shemi Yishchat Ben Of? So the Gemara offers two answers. What?
Do we do this nowadays?
What, Ibur?
Adding a day.
Well, we have what's called the Luach of Hillel HaSheni. Hillel organized the calendar in which we know exactly up front for all of posterity when the Chodesh is Chaser, means it has 29 days, and when it's Moly, it has 30 days. Mm-hmm. So we really today, this question of the Gemara would not be relevant. We can't tamper with the calendar. But back in the day when they were able to be Makadish Chodashim and they were able to be Ma'av Rishonim, it's a mitzvah that's derived from last week's parasha, Parashas Bo. So the Gemara offers two answers. The first answer is Hasam, in the case of Yom Kippur, Dilin Nafshe. He is preparing a suda for himself and his family. Lo tarit. He doesn't feel that sense of urgency, of commitment that would overwhelm him and cause him a bahala, a tirda. And therefore we don't have to worry about Shema Yishchat Ben Of on Shabbos. Hacha, but here in the case of Nisuin, Dila Acherim, it's his responsibility to see to it that the Suda of others is organized. He's very nervous about that. He's very preoccupied. He's Torud. And if he's Torud, he may come to Shecht Ben Of on Shabbos. Inami, a second answer the Gemara offers. Maybe the Gemara holds that there's really no distinction between a Suda Shosa Liatzmo and a Suda Shosa Bishvil Acherim. Hasam, there in the case of Yom Kippur, Isle Ravcha. There's no need to eat the Suda on the night after Motzi Shabbos, on the night going into Erev Yom Kippur, even though it's already the ninth of Tishrei. He can push off the Suda until the day of the ninth of Tishrei, which means Erev Yom Kippur itself, Sunday.
Not only can, but that's when you normally would have.
Well, that really depends upon these two answers. Again, I'm not talking about Shulchan Aruch now, but I'm just saying, from the perspective of the sugya, from the first answer, the Gemara assumes that the suda is going to happen at night.
It will happen at night. Right?
And the second answer, the Gemara assumes, no, you're going to push off the suda till the day.
Right.
Here, in the case of Nisu, we don't have that opportunity. Chacha, lesle ravcha, there's no possibility of delaying the suda till the next day. The suda has to take place that very night. With nightfall, he's preparing the suda. And he might accidentally jump the gun and shech the ben of before it's actually night and Shabbos is ended. Hashta diosis lahachi. The Gemara says the following. If you really are afraid of Shechitas Ben Of, is Erev Shabbos Nami? What happens if the marriage should fall out on Erev Shabbos? that right on so that the suda will be on Friday night is gzeirah shema yishchol ben of. Now the Gemara has a slightly different variation on Shema Yishchol Ben Ov. We were assuming until now Shema Yishchol Ben Ov means on Shabbos he's going to shecht the Ben Ov in preparation for Motzi Shabbos. Now the Gemara offers a broader scope gzera of Shema Yishchol Ben Ov that toch kidei the suda, meaning as he's preparing the suda this place is taking place on Shabbos, he will shecht the ben of for the sake of the suda's the suet. And the Gemara therefore has a problem. Well, why did we say in this brisa that the reason why we don't want, you know, the marriage to take place on Friday night is because of Chabura? Forget about Chabura. You told me the marriage shouldn't take place on Motzi Shabbos because you're afraid of Shechitas Ben Ov. That same Gzeira should apply as far as Friday night is concerned as well.
Much less likely.
Now, what is the issue? I just want to rewind a little bit. What's the issue between the two Teirutz of the Gemara about whether the Sudas Erev Yom Kippur is at night or during the day?
No.
I'm asking the following. Forget about Tirda, forget about Shem Yishchol Ben Ov, forget about Sudas Nesu'in. Let's just think about Erev Yom Kippur. When is the Suda of Erev Yom Kippur?
You would think it's right before, the way we
Why? Think. Why?
Because it's fast. To prepare for the fast. You're Excellent. Not going to have it 24 hours Excellent. Before.
What's the flip side? Why does the Gemara initially believe that the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippur begins at night?
Because the Pasuk says Va'erev.
Excellent, beautiful. So there are two ways of understanding the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippur. The Nafkamina is going to be Leil Erev Yom Kippur, meaning Erev, you know, going into our Erev Yom Kippur. One way is to learn it, that's Aloch and Chi. It's on the 9th of Tishrei. The 9th of Tishrei engenders a mitzvah of Achila. The 9th of Tishrei, Ayom Holech HaChalayl, begins at night. And the Pasuk is Meduyak, it says Ba'erev, Tishrei Ba'erev. The other way of understanding is that no, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare you for the fast. And if that be the case, I don't have to prepare for the fast 24 hours in advance. I don't know if my stomach, you know, filling up my belly 24 hours in advance is going to have any, you know, any impact on my ability to fast, to the ease of my fast, or the opposite. But if I eat on the day of Erev Yom Kippur, that is going to fortify me for the fast. What's the nafkamina between the two? Obviously, the first nafkamina is whether there's a mitzvah of achila on Leil Erev Yom Kippur.
Nafkamina with the purpose of the meal. I mean, there's more of a
nafkamina for nashim. Are women obligated in the mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom Kippur? Who can analyze that? If it's a hachana for the fast, what's the answer?
It's allowed.
Yeah, but it's allowed.
But not allowed. They're obligated. For sure they're obligated because they have to fast just like we have to fast. But if on the other it's halach and chi, then it's a zman grama mitzvah and women don't have to fast. There's another nafkamina. And the nafkamina would be whether or not we should recite tachnun in mincha on erev Yom Kippur. So again, it's the 8th of Tishrei, Mincha time. There's machlokas between, I think it's the Magen Avraham and the Gaon, as to whether or not we should recite Tachnun. Some say that it's right before the mitzvah of Achila. And whenever you have a mitzvah coming up, like for example, Erev Chanukah or Erev Purim, in the Mincha before the mitzvah of Megillah, the Mincha before the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, we leave out Tachnun. Others say that Mincha on the 8th requires tach like any other day of the year. Why? Because there's no mitzvah achila on the 9th at night. The mitzvah achila is only preparation for the fast, and that's going to be on the 9th during the day. And it could very well be that what we want to ask is the following question. Just one second, what did I have in my mind? Okay, popped out of my head. But I wanted to suggest that... Okay, I don't have it right now. Okay, but again, let's just summarize what we said. There are two ways of understanding the mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. Is it Halacha in Yom Kippur? Or is it halacha in the ninth of Tishrei? Oh, now I remember. What's the deal with a chole who has to eat on Yom Kippur? Does he have a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? If I say that the mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom Kippur is only what? It's right. Only a preparation right. For the fast. He's not going to fast. If, on the other hand, I hold that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is halacha and chi, so what? Even though he's not going to have the mitzvah of inui and fasting on the asiri, he still has the mitzvah of eating on chi.
Does the Rav have the idea that, if I remember correctly, that the meal relates to the simcha of the day? In other words, that you can't have it on the day itself because it's a fast day.
Oneg, I think he said.
Oneg,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Oneg. Now that makes a lot more
oneg
sense.
Oneg is pushed off from Asiri to Chi. So on the 9th, we're going to be Makayim, the mitzvah of Oneg over the 10th.
In other words, if it's not related to this preparation, so you fast easier, in other words, but it relates to Oneg, so that as the day comes in now on the Erev, on the night.
So what would you say about women?
So I said, well, I'm not getting into the women issue. I'm just...
No, I thought women would be... No. Are women obligated to eat?
So that's true on the women.
There was, what? Yes or no? Want to make sure we're on the same page?
I would say yes.
Yes, for sure. Right, because if the mechayev of eating is Oneg Yom Kippur, then they have the same mitzvah of Yom Kippur that we have.
If that meal relates to Oneg, so now that the day has come in, the night, now you have to have that meal at night. In other words, you're not going to wait.
I don't know. Yeah. That I'm not sure about. Maybe not. Because it could be that if the Oneg of Yom Kippur is to be fulfilled on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe it means Erev Yom Kippur Mamish, not the Leil Chi, which is too far removed from Yom Kippur.
I was saying the other way. You're not going to wait till the last minute. You're going to begin to celebrate, so to speak, as soon as it comes in, as the day comes in.
But I don't know. I'm not sure. Again, if the mechayev starts with asiri,
not the idea that you're waiting to the last minute to fill yourself up before the fast. Yeah. In other words, that's not the idea of this meal. So we want to mark that. We want to highlight that we're not waiting. That it's oneg that we're going to begin the night before to have the oneg of.
I have another raya that women are obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rashi says in the last perek of Yuma that the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to make the fast more difficult.
In
order to intensify the inui of Yom Kippur.
That's right.
None of the Rishonim agree with Rashi, but that's Rashi's Shita. So I would say that certainly according to Rashi, the Mechayev of Achila is Asiri itself, and therefore women should have the same obligation as men. Okay. Iboilahu. The Gemara has a suffix. Besula Niseis. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Besula Niseis Liyom Harvi. Why Yom Harvi? If he doesn't find Besulin, he's going to run into Bezdin on the very next morning, which is Yom Chamishi, because Bezdin said...
Did we clarify the Friday issue in terms of the Shkita, that you have the whole day to... In other words... The second answer of the issue of doing Shkita.
Right now the Gemara is of the opinion that since Motzi Shabbos is out because of Shemi Yishchat, so too Friday night is out because of Shemi Yishchat. And the Rishonim all say because L'maskonas HaSugya, there is no violation of Shabbos of Chabura, which we didn't get to yet. That depends on Dom Shedim Miskavin and so forth. So.
I mean, it doesn't seem as convincing because you have the whole day to... It's much less likely that you're going to do Shkita.
Toch kidei v'suta.
In other words, what if it's a winter and the Shabbos starts very early and Shkita's not till 9 p.m.?
That's true. No, you're right. But it's not the pressure. But yeah, you could find the case on that side.
In the footnote, he quotes the Rajba. He says, "Afal pshish mevade heichin sudas on the erev Shabbos." If the sudas the suda is on Shabbos, it's no question that he spent all of Friday preparing the suda. Mikomakom, says the Rajba, yesh lachsho shemelo kiven yofel and mispar ha'orchim sheyavol the suda. All of a sudden, this happens all the time. People show up from nowhere. You didn't calculate them, and because of his tirda, he might come to actually shecht a tarnagolas and ben ov on Shabbos. Just one last point to the Rashba, since we started with the Rashba. The Rashba says that the reason why the Gemara is now offering a new explanation for Leil Shabbos is because Chazra ba Gemara mitam de Chabura. The Gemara thinks that Leil Shabbos is not a problem of Champura. B'pnei shagemara lahalod b'daf zayin masika shemuto livol besula b'shabbos ukidei shetia b'raisa zu kehilchasa pirsha gemara sha isur b'tam acher shem yishcha penof lo b'tam asiyas chabur.
Is that what we ask in the Chabur, isn't it? Do we ask in that way or not?
And the Rashba says not. I didn't look in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we didn't get, you know.
A few shiurim back.
Yeah, but again, we never got to the end of the sugya. Okay. You remember, the sugya is very complicated, right. Back and forth. Go ahead. Evan, you may speak louder.
No, I just wanted to ask. We have Abaye Sakasha, we have two Terutzim and Sakasha. What is this?
Oh, did I skip that?
No, it's just a Mamer.
No. Hashda the Yosef Lahochi means now that we've come to the conclusion that the problem with a marriage Suda on Motzi Shabbos is Shemi Yishcha Ben Ov, says the Gemara, now we can shed a new light on the problem with allowing the Nesuin, the Bilas Mitzvah, to take place on Friday night. Because that is going to culminate with the Sudas Nesuin, and on Shabbos itself, as we said, even though he prepared the Suda on Erev Shabbos, but he wasn't Mechavin Yofa, how many Orchim, he might Shech the Ben Ov on Friday night.
Now we do, in other words, it is common just today in Israel with Friday weddings.
But the Suda has to take place on Friday. According to this. Again, I don't know in Halacha, but...
And the Bealers and the...
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if the Suda takes place then in the Suda, then the Bilim Shona will take place on Friday night, and then we have to assume, like the Rashba, that there's no Isur of Kabul.
Okay.
No, again, we didn't. Again, Rabbi Aaron, we're going through the Shitas. We're not up to the final Maskana, right, yet. You know, right.
No,
the Rashba Shita is that Lamaskana, there's no problem Bilim Shona on Shabbos.
So that's my recollection also.
What?
That's my recollection also that we said that in Shir. That's also my recollection.
Yeah, we did. We did say that.
That it's mutter, it's awesome.
No, we said.
No, we assumed it was awesome.
Right.
No, but the Rashba holds not like that. Okay. The Rashba holds it's mutter. We're going to have to wait until we go through the entire sugya. We're still in the middle of that sugya.
It seems like just based on
what to evaluate
today,
the Rashba.
Weddings on Friday, that the Friday night either is shown.
It sounds like we're relying on the Rashba. Right, no. Okay. Good. But again, you know.
In Europe, they said the wedding took place.
Yeah, that's what Byron is saying. And if the wedding took place on Friday, chances are that the Be'ilah took place on Friday night. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not 100% sure, but let's, you know, I would feel more comfortable if we delayed this discussion for next week, because next week, if it's Hashem, we're going to cover the sugya of Bila Rishon Han Shabbos. Alright.
Now, on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, you cannot get married?
Well, again, we're not looking at Shulchan Aruch yet, but right now the Gemara thinks that you can't make a Suda. As soon as the Suda Motzi Shabbos, not because
never
of,
heard of it. I mean,
I'm saying England, again, but most of you're pushing me in the right direction, namely that we should look in Shulchan Aruch. I did not get to that point yet. Right now, I'm learning a sugya with you,
and next week we'll get to
it. I don't know. If you push me on it. I should just tell you this, and I think I mentioned to this you once before, that my father's grandfather had real problems in the shul because of weddings on Motzi Shabbos. Did you have it also, Rabbi?
Yeah.
He had fights with the caterers. And the caterers insisted on taking out the food from the freezer. It's a real issue. And my father fought this battle because, again, all the food is frozen. You can't serve people frozen food. Shabbos goes out at 7, at 8, at 9, and other countries even later. And you're going to start inviting the guests, and what do you have, frozen food? So they want to start defrosting the food on Shabbos.
The trucks are coming in, it's a
they have all sorts of head tables. Okay, Ibailu Rabosai, please. We don't have that much time. I just want to fit in this sugya so that we can start, you know, the sugya Bila Rishona on Shabbos next week. Ibailuhu, the Mishnah says Basula Nises Liyom Haravi. So on what day is the wedding going to take place in the case of Basula? On Wednesday, because the very next day he's going to go to Bezdin. So the Gemara has the following Ibailuhu, the following Sofek. Is it Bisul and Nisais Baravi Vidiv Eles Baravi? In other words, let's say the wedding takes place on Wednesday, noontime. When is the Be'ila going to take place? The wedding lasts for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Is the Be'ila going to take place on Wednesday daytime?
Are we generally not...
What do you mean Thursday?
After sundown, Wednesday.
It doesn't say that, it says a reading.
We're on the first side, you're already on the second side. This is Ibailahu. Ibailahu means the Gemara vacillates back and forth. You're already pushing the agenda for the second side. I'm still trying to bring back my brains on the first side. The first side says, let the Be'ila take place on the day itself. I have a footnote here from the Ran. He says, he's not despoiled from that whole business. So the Be'ila will take place on Wednesday daytime. We're not going to be afraid that it'll be almost a whole 24 hours until he finally gets to Bezda the next day and he's going to cool off in the meantime. Oh, Dilma, and here where Evan is going to feel more comfortable. She will be, the Be'ila will take place the eve of Thursday, so that just a few hours later he runs into Bezdin the Chayshina Likuri Daita, because if the Be'ilu will take place by the day, we're going to have to worry about his cooling off.
Those few hours is an issue, doesn't that seem...
But in halachic terms, what the Gemara is trying to say is, do we have to force the hand of the Chasam Kala, make sure that they delay their Be'ilah until nightfall? I mean, that's how Lach Lemaisa question that the Gemara is vacillating about.
Yeah, but based on what? Based on the getting him to Bezdin. You're talking about the 2-3 hours. We're talking about a few hours here.
Correct, but again, the whole takana was for those few hours. Why do we make this takana that she should be married on a Wednesday in order to make that wedding as close as possible?
The following morning, but it just seems nitpicking.
All right.
It seems like you were talking
Toshma, the Tani Bar Kapara, Besula Nisei Baravi, Vidiv Eles Bechamishi. So, Rabosai, which side of the Gemara do you think this price of Bar Kapara is supporting?
Second
meaning what?
It's going to.
That the Be'ilah should take place when?
Wait till
On the eve of Chamishi.
Yeah.
Wrong. Why? Because the Brisa says, take a look, Hoil v'nemra bo bracha l'dagim. Hashem said to the dagim, Ivarach osam pru revu amulis aris b'mayim. And that bracha was given to the dagim on Yom Chamishi. So we want the Be'ilah to be blessed with the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch to the dagim on Yom Chamishi. Almana, this is bechamishi v'nevelis b'shishi. Ha be'ilu will take place on Friday. Hoil v'nemrabo bracha li adam. It sounds like in the case of an almana, where we're not pressured by the ikurei daite, because she's already been married before, so there's no tainus pesulin. Therefore, we're free to accept a greater bracha, the bracha that was given to man on the day of his creation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vayivarech osam elokim, vayol elokim pru revu umilu es haaretz." Okay then, says the Gemara, Taima, why does the Be'il have to take place on Chamishi? The answer is Mishum Bracha, Aval Mishum Ekure Daite Lo Chai Shinon. The Nafkamina is going to be the following. Let's say a person says, it's a nice thing to have a bracha, but, thanks, but no thanks. A bracha is an Eitz Tov. It's always good to get an extra bracha. You know, you want to go to a Chassidus Rebbe, you want to go to the Baba Sali, you know, get a bracha. It's a good thing. But it's not a halachic requirement. Masha Enkin, if it's Ikurei Daite, that's halacha with a suffing sota that we have to get him into Bezdin as soon as possible. The Brisa is not interested in Ikurei Daite. We should be Ikurei Daite Lo Chai Shino. That's why I fooled you before. That was a pedagogue tool. I don't know if it worked. You'll have to judge. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if you're talking about the great significance of getting married on Chamishi, of having the Be'ilah on Chamishi, why? Because the Bracha L'dagim, if that be the case, then Almana Namiti Baal B'Chamishi Hol V'Nemer Bracha L'dagim. At this point, the Gemara thinks that the Bracha for Dagim is superior to the Bracha to Adam. And why is that?
Because it's
Dagim is for fertility.
Why? For two reasons. First of all, the Gemara says that lo shalta ba'eda bisha means that the fish are deep below the sea, and the eye doesn't see that, and that's a protection against jealousy, ainara, whatever it might be. Secondly, because the dugim reproduce at an amazing rate, you know, thousands and thousands of them, right? So if you'll ever be in a lot, I don't know if you'll ever be there, Brian, but I'm just joking with you. You'll see in the aquarium, you know, the billions of fish over there. It's a beautiful sight.
So you see the whales.
So the Gemara answers then, bracha di adim, even though there are certain dimensions of bracha dugim which are superior, but at the end of the day, the bracha for an adam is superior. Because this is a bracha for man, and that's what we want. In the case of Basula, she cannot avail herself of the bracha Yom Shishi, because that would be too long to wait between the Be'ilah on Shishi and the next session of Bezdin, which is on Yom Sheni. But in the case, so therefore we're going to give her the second rate bracha of Dagim, and the Be'ilah will take place on Yom Chamishi. In the case of Almana, where we're free of the shackles of Ikurei Daite and Bezdin, we're going to allow her to take advantage of the Shpitz bracha, which is the bracha to Adam. Inami, the Gemara now gives another explanation why Almana should get married, should have a bila on Shishi on Thursday. Mishum shakdu, because the Chachamim wanted to make sure that when a man marries a woman, he won't run off to work. He'll spend at least a minimum of 3 days without going to work with his new wife. This is in the case of an Almana. Why do they want the marriage to take place chamishi, the be'ilah on shishi? He doesn't want to lose a day of work on Friday, right? The company is going to expect him to be there. He'll do his be'ilah job on Thursday, and he'll run out to work on Friday. Because again, there's no mishta for an almana. There's only one day of mishta, so he can go out the next day. Ishaktu chacham etakonis benos Yisrael. There, yehei sameach ima shloshes yomim. How do they guarantee the minimum of 3 days? Chamishi, the wedding is going to take place on Thursday, and then the be'ilah is going to take place on Friday. That's Erev Shabbos. And Shabbos, he's certainly not going to go to work. So on Thursday, he's busy preparing the wedding, the chuppah. He's not going to go out to work. On Friday, he's busy preparing himself for the be'ilah's mitzvah. And finally, he gets to Shabbos. So he's got 3 consecutive days of shaktu. My ika bein bracha l'shaktu. Is there a nafkamina between the two? And the Gemara offers 2 nafkaminas. Ika beinayu adam batil, a person who doesn't have a job, so we don't have to worry about shaktu. We only have to worry about bracha. So therefore, we'll encourage him to have the be'ilah on Friday in order to gain the benefit of bracha li adam. Inami yontov shechalios. The Erev Shabbos. If Yontov is on a Friday, then as far as Brach is concerned, here too we need the Be'ilah on Thursday in order to gain the Brach. But as far as Shaktu is concerned, we've already guaranteed that he will not go to work. Now, Rabosai, from here until the next Sugya is Agadata. So you'll let me know if you want to learn the Agadata. I would prefer probably skipping the Agadata, even though it's a nice Agadata. It's all about Lashon Hara and stuff like that. But no, it's good from time to time to get a little chizuk on Lashon Hara, because we're all a little bit tempted sometimes to speak Lashon Hara. Oh, I could share with you a beautiful piece of the Chassidish Rebbe's on this Agadata about who's greater, the Tzaddikim who built the Beis HaMikdash or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the universe. And I have a beautiful shtickel Torah. It goes back to the Maharal Prague and to some of the Chassidish Rebbe's. That's in that. So if you want, maybe we'll spend the first couple of minutes on the Agadata, then we get to the Sugya of Ma'o Livo Betchila V'Shabbos and the issue of Chaburah. Okay, then we'll go.
Please, does anyone comment on this? I mean, this bracha. this issue of bracha getting married in these days.
If you don't mind opening the door, just I want to know if we're missing bracha.
Based on the bracha, it seems like it doesn't feel so
which issue again?
No, the whole of the day is being based on the bracha of the fish and man. I mean, it's a huge stretch getting married in that day, because the Torah says
not marriage, we're talking about the ila.
Okay, the be'ilah, based on the fact that it says that fish reproduce. I mean, it just seems like it's a total stretch.
Not that fish reproduce, that Hashem in the creation bestowed a blessing on the fish. And that creates a skula in Yom HaKamish.
So are we using a word that's not an easy word?
No, but I'm just saying the halacha considers.
Let's get married on that day because there's a segula.
Again, not marriage, but be'ilah. Yeah.
Be'ilah, sorry. Right. Let's do the be'ilah on that day because of segula. I mean, isn't that like, how would Rabbi Soloveitchik kind of like, how would Rabbi Chaim like deal with it? I mean, what does that mean, those words mean to them? Let's get married on the day because it's a segula of bracha on the day. What is that in halachic terms? What is that?
I hear your question.
I think that Kiryas Rivia is
a mitzvah that requires every hishtadlus that's possible, meaning we don't want to leave anything on any stone unturned.
I hear you. Okay.
If there's a way of creating a bila, now we're talking about bila's mitzvah, which Tosa says is the trigger off of Piri Verivia, right? Because Nas Kleev Al Yodam Akayim Piri Verivia. Remember that? That's the Tosa's back on Daf Dalet, I believe, that we saw. Then we want to make that bila the kind of bila that has the most or greatest chances of successfully fulfilling Piri Verivia.
We
want to use any method that we can.
How do we know that the fact that God said on that day that fish were going to reproduce, that we're...
That I don't know. That you're right. But again, if I answer that question, then we have a halachic...